Chapter 3. Since Granum used to be a part of Edenie's duchy, the she-wolf sat up front with me in the driver's seat. The striking woman guided me through the forest to the main road and then directed me toward the second city. We'd have to travel through the mountains to reach the much larger town, but I was ready for the challenge. I glanced out of the corner of my eye and observed Edenie's face. Her expression looked a bit pinched, as if she were in pain or deep in thought. I'd seen her make this face many times before, especially at me when I worked for her. But over the recent months, I hadn't seen it in a very long time. "What's the matter?" I asked, held the reins tightly in my hands, and turned to look at her fully. "Is something bothering you?"
"I haven't been to Granum in a long time," the wolf woman uttered. "Since the queen handed over my right to it and banned me from ever entering into the city. It'll be strange to come back. So much had changed in Burscon, and that was my smaller city. What have they done with Granum? What have they changed while I was gone?"
"What was it like?" I probed. "How much of a mental burden was it to have the cities taken from you? How concerned were you about the fate of your citizens?"
"It's like having a part of your being go missing. Granum and Burscon may have seemed like mere extensions of my power, but to me, they were just as near and dear to my heart as Edenheart. I split my time between all three of them, and losing both cities was like losing limbs. I worried for the safety of the citizens. I wasn't there to protect them anymore. We saw what happened to Burscon, and I fear that the same thing has happened to Granum. Of course, running all three of them was annoying and stressful at times, but I would have never given up control willingly, and I certainly didn't when the queen took them from me."
"What do you mean?" I urged. "You said it was stressful and annoying. Which part of it was like that?"
"Well,"
the she-wolf started,
"sometimes there were more urgent issues, and I didn't mind sousing them out. A few years back, they had a horrible problem with their sewage and water systems. I helped them get it back in order, but a lot of other issues were pettier, as you would expect from the aristocratic class. A noble's manor encroaching on another woman's land, stupid things like that, which could have been worked out without my help. But that's not what troubles me about Burscon and Granum."
"Tell me, I'm here to listen."
Well, it's hard to admit, but it's strange to see them under someone else's instruction. Burscon thrived without my direction. What does that mean about my ability as a leader? Edenheart was my escape. It was such a lovely little town, so quaint and hidden deep within the mountains, surrounded by the massive ancient forest. Picturesque."
"I've often thought that, too. I may not have loved Edenheart the way you did, but I will freely admit it was a beautiful town. I haven't been to many, but by far it was my favorite."
"I hate to think about how they survived without me,"
Edenie murmured over the roaring of the caravan's wheels.
"Not just survived, but flourished. Of course, when we found them, they were suffering under the oppressive rule of the queen. But look at all the changes they made. The buildings and businesses were much larger than I ever planned them to be. When we came upon them, they were poor and forced to give away all of their useful goods. But at some point in time, after the Marchioness came into power, their economies must have been good at some point. I never wanted Edenheart, Burscon, and Granum to become like the capital. But when we arrived in Burscon, that's exactly what it looked like. A miniature capital. I never intended for them to become like that. They were supposed to stay the way they were. But I guess that's my old-fashioned way of thinking. Cities have to grow with the times, the same as the people who live there. I've tried to stay set in my ways, keep Edenheart the way my ancestors intended it to be. But nothing can ever stay the same. If it does, it'll ultimately shrivel up and die. All of us, everything on this earth, has to grow and learn new ways to survive. I should know that as a monster woman, but I don't think I'm ready to accept it yet."
"That's understandable," I nodded. "You spent so much of your life trying to save Edenheart from the queen's clutches. You didn't want it to change like everything else around you, but it's healthy for things to grow and change, as you said. I hope that Edenheart can stay the same after we take control, but I won't stop it if it changes."
"I have to accept that,"
the Duchess smiled,
I have to turn my eyes to you, Charles, and see you as my inspiration. If you hadn't wanted to change in the world around you, well, you'd probably still be slaving away for the old aristocratic me. I'm glad that you made the decisions that brought you to where we are today. If you hadn't, I'm not sure what old me would have done to you. I once told you that I wouldn't have stopped until you were mine, even if that meant I had to kill you. It was true. I would have killed you and kept your soul. So thank you. Thank you for altering me for the better. And I will work hard to see the beauty in the changing cities ahead of us.
Is there anything else you're worried about, my love? You still don't look satisfied.
Yes.
The Duchess breathed.
I told you that a wall surrounds Granum, and we should be able to break through it easily.
What about it? I asked.
About a year ago,
Edany started, paused, and stared straight ahead of us.
The Queen mandated for shipments of stone to be shipped to 4 different cities across the country. There were never any explanations, just to send stone from quarries as soon as we could. We don't have any granite quarries in Edenheart. Sure, we had Josephine's mines, but those were mainly for iron, coal, and diamonds. I sent off the letter to Josephine, and then never heard another word about it.
So, I grumbled. The fortification around Granum could be much larger than expected?
I have no idea.
The wolf woman shook her head.
There are hundreds of things they could have used the stone for. New buildings, updated streets, or larger manors. But it could have easily been used for a larger wall around the city. A heavily fortified city in the mountains could be complicated to take militarily. I wanted to warn you about it before we reached the city proper.
Thank you for telling me, I nodded. I appreciate it, but that could pose some problems ahead of us. Our soldiers and monster women are strong, but they are inexperienced in siegecraft. Edany bit her lip, breathed in deeply, and then reached out to grab my hand. The Duchess gave it a tender but reassuring squeeze, and then nodded once.
I know. If the fortifications are stronger than we expected, we don't have any weapons to break through.
I breathed in evenly, but gripped the reins a little tighter. I hoped beyond hope that wasn't the case. But I'd suspected it. If Berskan had expanded more than Edenheart under the rule of the Marchioness, then Granum must have done the very same. Not only that, but the second city was much larger. Therefore, it was more likely that they'd expanded. My exact line of thought, I nodded. But let's hope that they were merely building more homes and businesses. I do have a few other plans, if that's not the case.
Are you worried about it too?
Edany asked.
I feel as if it's the only thing I can think about. Thankfully, the way Berskan was built, it would have been nearly impossible to build a wall around it. But Granum sits where the mountain slopes down, and the other side is the cusp of the desert where the land is fairly flat. It'd be effortless for them to fortify the city.
I'm not worried. I shook my head. I'm a genius, after all, and any wall built by man or woman can be destroyed by us and rebuilt better.
I just hope that Granum would be as easy as Berskan,
the she-wolf admitted.
I mean, the battle against Samilla wasn't easy, and I don't think for a minute that the fight against the second Marchioness will be any easier. But getting in and out, that was the simplest part of all of it. Your soldiers went in, laid out all of the contraptions, and then all of the aristocrats were knocked out in an instant. If Granum has done what I suspect, it's going to be so much harder.
Edany, I need you to listen, I stated, and then cleared my throat meaningfully. It's not going to be easy. None of it is going to be easy. I fully believe that Edenheart and Berskan were our trial runs, and it's only going to get harder going forward. We're going to struggle, and we're not going to know if we'll make it through during trying times, but I can guarantee we're going to win. Things may seem uncertain and bleak. There might be fear and worry in your heart, and all of that is all right. But we're stronger than you think. Look at yourself. More than that, look at your sisters. We have a whole army of monster women on our side. They're more than capable. You just have to believe in them and yourself. I've seen what you can do. I know you're capable of more than you think. Edany fell silent and lowered her head as she played with her delicately thin fingers in her lap, but a small smile bloomed across her plump lips. We sat together in the driver's seat for a long time and said nothing. But the silence wasn't uncomfortable. The Duchess seemed to think for a long time, and I allowed her that. I didn't know if we'd succeed in our endeavors, but I had the feeling that we'd win no matter what. All of my life I'd pretended to be a weak, cowering man in the shadows of my oppressors. The key to my survival had been to skirt away from any type of confrontation with the aristocrats. May it have been with the other alchemists, or the women who employed me. When I accidentally created Valerie, that's the first time I'd taken back some power for myself. I quickly learned that I didn't have to live like a vile vermin. I could have a life where I had a family, and was allowed to be happy. All I had to do was fight for it. And here I was, doing precisely that. I hadn't decided to change. It was as if the world around me wanted to do so and forced me to become a different man. When Valerie first came into existence, I had no idea what I would do. I'd been tasked with creating super soldiers, and yet I changed direction for the monster women. Maybe it was stupid of me to divert from the job Edeny had given me completely, but if I hadn't, I wouldn't be where I was today. Edeny wouldn't have been sitting directly beside me on this very driver's seat if I hadn't grown as a man.
What are you thinking about, Charles?
The she-wolf giggled.
You're the one who looks pensive now.
I was just thinking, I muttered. I wonder what my life would be like if I hadn't created Valerie. What would I be doing at this very moment if I hadn't changed my life completely by accident? Would I still work for you? Or would you have killed me just as you said you would?
I don't like to think about those things, Charles.
Edeny chuckled.
I don't like to imagine what I would have done if I'd stayed the way I was. I think we dwell on the past too much. We should look forward to the future, and try not to imagine what we'd be doing if things hadn't changed. We're in the future, and we should settle our sights on the bright future ahead of us. As you said, it's going to be difficult, but I, for one, believe in us.
Thank you. I smiled. You and Daisy always know what to say to bring me back to the present moment. I'll try not to dwell on the past too much, but it's important for us to remember where we came from and what point all of this started.
Out of a basement laboratory,
the she-wolf giggled.
In a manor owned by my family and left empty for centuries. I haven't forgotten, and I doubt I ever will, even when we've taken up residence in the palace in the capital. Our humble beginnings. But look at us now. We have a whole army behind us. Isn't that beautiful?
It's hard to remember that sometimes, I murmured. I feel as if, in some ways, I haven't changed at all. That I'm still an alchemist parading around as a scientist, but I know that isn't true. My hours of poring over medical books and journals prove me wrong every time. I'm not that same man, and I know it deep down in my heart. It wasn't my genius that changed me. It was all of my monster women. You changed me into the man I am today, and I'm eternally grateful.
I hope we get to know more about Cecilia during this journey.
The she-wolf breathed, glanced over her shoulder, and gazed inside the caravan through the open window behind us.
It's so strange meeting someone who grew up exactly as I did, as an aristocratic daughter to a powerful mother, and making completely different choices than I did. I easily could have been her, could have changed my ways if I wanted to and become a harlot, but I never met someone who changed my mind. If there's anything you want to ask me,
a voice piped up from behind us,
you can go ahead. I'm more than willing to tell you more about myself.
When I peeked over my shoulder, I noticed the redhead sitting in the corner of the room at the kitchen table. If I hadn't looked close enough, I would have totally missed her. And the ex-guard scooted closer in her chair.
Sorry, I didn't see you there, my love.
Edeny smiled.
I'm just so curious about you. I guess I'm curious about the harlots as a whole, since I was born with these beliefs and never felt any way otherwise. You explained a bit about how you became a harlot, but I don't think I heard the full story. Do you mind telling us? Of course not.
Cecilia smiled, pressed her elbows against the window's frame, and leaned in a little closer.
I told you that I became a harlot at 15, but I didn't tell you everything. I grew up as any heiress would. I was waited on, hand and foot, by a large array of servants, and on the eve of my 16th birthday, I was given a consort as a rite of passage, but I never indulged with him. I'd heard of the harlots, but only from my mother's mouth. She hated them, and believed that all of them should be purged off the face of the earth. I didn't understand at the time what the word harlot meant. I'd already begun to feel sorry for our workers, but I'd never breathed a word to my mother about it.
So, I probed, how did you find out about the harlots and what they really do for men?
There was this strange rally,
Cecilia explained, furrowed her eyebrows and rested her chin against her folded arms.
I used to sneak out at night, you know, typical teenager things. A few friends of mine and I would just steal some wine or other alcohol from our mother's cabinets and then wander around until we were tipsy. It snowed hard, and it was cold, so we cut through a back alley while we tried to get back to our houses. And there was a light on in a basement. The door was open a crack, and loud voices exploded out from inside. But it wasn't just a woman speaking. There was a man, too. My friends thought it was a man and a woman fighting. So we went to investigate in case there was a crime happening. You know, like a man abusing his master or something like that. You said it was a rally?
Edeny asked.
What do you mean? I'll get to that.
The Black Drake woman giggled.
Once we crept down the stairs, it was just a long hallway with a door at the end of it, and my three friends were scared to go even further because if we were caught, we'd get into trouble. So they went back upstairs. But whoever was speaking, her voice was so strong, assured and confident, and I had to know what she was talking about. I moved down the hall and slowly opened the door. The room beyond was massive. It dropped down far below the normal depth of a basement, and off in the distance, I made out a woman and a man standing on the stage. But that wasn't what shocked me. The man and woman were holding hands, standing together, closely, almost the same way an aristocrat and her favorite consort would do. But it was different. The man wasn't cowed. His shoulders weren't slumped forward. He stood tall with his head held high, and he looked out over the crowd as the woman spoke.
Was it Josephine's mother? I asked, and Cecilia's emerald eyes lit up.
Yes,
the ex-guard nodded.
It was her, and her words were so beautiful. She spoke about a future where men and women could stand together, shoulder to shoulder, and live happily, as they used to do, many hundreds of years ago. I believe that the man there was Josephine's father. But don't quote me on that.
It wasn't my father,
another voice broke in.
My father passed away shortly before I was born. That was most likely my mother's companion, Gregor. She bought him on the black market as a consort, but didn't use him as such. He toured different cities with her and spoke to the crowds that came to see her. They were close friends, but they certainly weren't lovers. My mother only loved my father, and it broke her heart because she could never love him openly.
That is very sad, I pondered. That's what I don't want for all of you. I want a world where you can show everyone how much you love me and how I love all of you. Sorry, Cecilia, continue with your story.
I listened to her words,
the harlot explained,
and they resonated with me. I already felt this way toward the men we employed, but finally hearing someone say it out loud, it was so gratifying. I felt crazy all of my life because I felt this way towards the brutes, but I could never tell anyone. I couldn't listen for long because my friends were waiting for me, but I came back every day for the rest of the week. But the basement door stayed closed until I returned on the same day of the week, at the same time, and it was finally open. I snuck inside and crept into the crowd, just to listen to Josephine's mother's words.
You're from the capital, correct?
The Drake woman asked.
Yes,
Cecilia nodded.
From the 11th borough.
You must have seen me a few times, too,
the heiress breathed.
Or had you gone into the guard by then? I didn't take over until my mother fell sick and had to be sent away. That's why the meetings were so far and in between. And then I had to stop because the word was getting out that harlots had infiltrated the capital. I slunk back to Edenhot and continued sending my letters and corresponding with my comrades, but it wasn't the same. No.
Cecilia shook her head, grinned, and stared up at her role model with wide, sparkling eyes.
I saw you every chance that I could get before Zerali's ended. You were such an inspiration, and I wanted to be just like you. But I couldn't. I had to join the Guard, like all of my family before me.
Sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do.
The Drake woman nodded.
There were quite a few times that I had to give in and pretend to be a normal aristocrat. Those were the hardest moments of my life, and I hated every second of it.
It's quite funny.
Edeny chuckled.
Josephine and I were close friends when we were children. I remember how soft and tender she was with our servants. I was quite a precocious and mischievous child, so I enjoyed playing cruel tricks on our servants, and even my mother when I had the chance. I always wondered why she was so kind to people below our station. Now I understand, and I feel so horribly for you, Josephine. You had to stand by and watch as I did horrible and vicious things to the men around me. It wasn't just as a child, but as an adult, too.
I don't fault you for that, Edeny.
The honey blonde shook her head.
You were misguided by those around you, along with the society we were raised in. I'm sure if you were my full-blooded sister, you would have believed in all of the same things as me. My mother showed me how the aristocrats treated the men around them, and then guided me in the right direction. I'm not trying to say my mother forced me to believe in the same things she did. She gave me the option to join our aristocratic society, but I didn't because I thought what she was doing was right.
You had the option to choose to become a harlot or not?
Edeny gasped.
Really?
My mother, she believed that no one's belief should be restricted.
Josephine explained.
But if I were to choose that life, she would have kicked me out and made sure I told no one about her being a harlot or the other harlots around the country.
What does that mean? I asked. Sounds pretty ominous.
I may have been her daughter.
The Drake woman chuckled, shook her head, and then breathed a heavy sigh.
But she was fully prepared to kill me if I broke my silence. She wouldn't have killed me right away, but if I revealed anything about the harlots or their whereabouts, it would have been the end.
That's pretty harsh,
Cecilia whispered.
I may not have known your mother since I only saw her at Zerali's, but I'm kind of surprised she said something like that.
My mother was firm in her beliefs.
Josephine nodded.
I can understand where she was coming from, and she knew when she told me all of these things, I wouldn't leave. Not because of the threat, but because I saw everything going on around us. I would never allow myself to abuse a man, and she was incredibly proud of me. She still is, even if she suffers from her horrible sickness. I took her dream and ran with it. A lot of things that the harlots are doing today are because of my ideas. The whole mining situation, buying men from the black market and paying them to work, was my idea. They weren't free by any means, but they had more freedom than any other man in Edenhot. They had homes of their own and money to spend on items they needed. They were allowed to live and work as they chose. I wasn't a slave master. I was simply the woman who employed them. And now they serve along with the other soldiers in Charles's army. I told them our goals, dreams, and what we want for the future. They agreed to become part of the army. I didn't have to convince them. They saw what I gave them and knew that eventually Charles and the rest of us could give that to the whole population of men.
And that's exactly what we're going to do, I stated. We're going to take back this country and bring back what all men lost, their respect. Men aren't some sort of subspecies, and they're certainly not vermin. I want men to live, to enjoy their lives and not slave every day for little to no payoff. I remember being a little boy living in the boarding school and being oppressed by the schoolmarms. I always wondered if there was anything more to life than this. I had no idea how we'd fix it, but there was a part of me that hoped that someday the world and society would change. Look at us. We're doing just that. I had no idea that I'd be the one to make the changes.
That's not true,
Josephine soothed.
You knew you were brilliant, and you sought out things to aid you in the future. That's why you studied alchemy, science, and medicine. You knew you'd use them in the future, but maybe you didn't have the full picture of what the future would look like.
It certainly didn't look like this, I chuckled, let go of the reins, and gestured toward all three of my monster women. I strived to become a doctor and scientist because I wanted to help people, men and women. I only practiced alchemy because, well, it's a profitable profession. But it turned out I was good at it.
It's strange to think about how fate changed your life,
Edeny smiled.
You strive to become a doctor and a scientist, and it led you to create us. You couldn't change the world alone, Charles, as much as I'd like to believe it. You are a single man in a sea of powerful aristocrats. You created us with a purpose. Maybe you didn't know it at the time, but we're what's going to force the world to change for you, and we'll happily do it.
I have to admit, I didn't have a plan. Hell, I didn't know any of this would happen, but I'm glad it did. Mostly because I got to experience what it feels like to be loved and cared for. Not only that, but all of you got to feel that way too. A few of you had told me that before you transformed, you didn't know what it felt like to be loved, especially by a man. I'm glad that I'm the person who's so lucky to give that to you, and before long, all of the men of the world will feel it too. We settled into a comfortable silence, and before long, both Josephine and Cecilia retreated into the back of the caravan as the sun dropped low in the west. Someone, probably Daisy, lit the stove in the cabin behind us and started preparing dinner. We'd have to pull off soon before it got too dark, eat dinner, and then head to bed. But I wanted to drive us as far as we could get before it got too late. Edeny sat silently beside me, then leaned over and rested her head on my shoulder. The Duchess wrapped her arms around mine and then slowly closed her eyes for a short nap. I wanted to enjoy this moment. It was these times in between the battles and fights that I would remember once all of this was past, so I burned them into my memory. I kept my eyes glued to the road ahead of us, but as we neared a bend in the road, our horses started to act strangely. Daisy's, in particular, trotted unevenly, and its large, round eyes rolled in their sockets. I pulled on their reins to slow them, but that only seemed to agitate them more. Suddenly the beast reared back, neighed angrily at the sky, and kicked out its hoofed legs. If I weren't careful and the other horses spooked, it could topple over the whole caravan. Edeny's eyes snapped open, and she immediately tried to soothe the horses along with me, but all of our attempts failed. One of us would have to go down there and calm them down before we could get back on the road. The Duchess and I glanced at each other out of the corners of our eyes, and the she-wolf gulped loudly.
"What's going on?"
Cleia shrieked from inside.
"The whole cabin is wobbling around."
I didn't have time to answer as the rest of the horses neighed out of fear and drew back onto their hind legs. This could end very badly, and I hastily shifted the reins in my hand to keep them steady. I had no idea what had scared them or where it was in the thick forest, but right as I handed over the leather straps to Edeny, a shadow stepped forward out of the woods. We couldn't make out what it was yet, but from its enormous outline, whatever it was huge and stomped forward on four legs. A loud snort broke us from our trance, and the wolf woman gripped onto my forearm for dear life.
"What the hell is that?"
Edeny gasped. "I have no idea." I shook my head, stared forward, and listened to rageful grunting coming out of the trees ahead of us. "But I'm sure we're about to find out."